Welcome to Marvel.
Welcome into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Cliff here on a Tuesday morning, early Tuesday morning. You guys haven't heard from me in any of the chats, any of the texts. I wanted to address last night. So I had a whole different monologue planned, you know, to start the season, but I feel like I definitely need to head down the road, in particular dealing with the New York Jets and what happened last night. So if you want to get to the fantasy football, feel free to fast forward, but just want to bring you into kind of how I'm feeling. This will kind of feel like a Mike Greenberg type monologue situation, but all the texts and DMs I got yesterday shows that at least some people care. So I haven't even gone through them, to be honest. But just a little bit about how I'm feeling about last night. What a roller coaster of emotions from the pregame. It's 9/11 anniversary. Rodgers running out on the field with the American flag. Natalie's sitting on the couch, just kind of chilling. And I look over to her. I said, that right there. I mean, that's goosebumps. That could be an iconic photo. If the New York Jets are good and Rodgers is who we think he is, that could be the iconic photo of Aaron Rodgers running out with the flag. And of course we know what happened. I'm a Jets fan. A lot of people don't know. I've been a Jets fan my whole life because my dad's a Jets fan, and that goes way back to Super Bowl III. He was watching the Super Bowl with my grandfather, Super Bowl III, 1968. And my grandfather was rooting for the Colts, Johnny Unitas, and my dad, young guy, just started getting into sports, didn't really know teams back then, but decided he just wanted whatever team that my grandfather wanted to win, the Colts, to lose. So technically, my dad is a bandwagon Jets fan because the Jets went on to upset the Colts. They were 18.5 point underdogs in the Super Bowl, and they beat the Colts to win Super Bowl III. And that is the beginning of my dad's Jets fanhood, sadly. And obviously that was, moved on to me. I'm a New England sports guy through and through. Besides that, Boston Celtics, Boston Bruins. I was a huge Whalers fan. Obviously, they moved to Carolina, so naturally I took up the Bruins. But primarily, my number one sport to root for is football and the New York Jets, with the Celtics right there as well. I don't always claim the Red Sox, but they did win some series. But again, this is maybe a selfish monologue, but just I want to dive into exactly what happened last night. And before I do that, I kind of have to tell you what happened before then, meaning how I'm a Jets fan and stuff. But so some of the biggest Jet moments of my life, and really just one, was the back-to-back AFC Championship games that they went to in 2009 and 2010. One of them is my number one Jets fanhood memory, is going into Foxborough, beating Tom Brady to get to the AFC Championship game. We lost both of those, so we didn't get to go to the Super Bowl, but man, we had some good teams. And I think it's important to remember who the quarterback was. It was Mark Sanchez. We had Rex Ryan as our head coach, and he was a defensive-minded coach, and what a defense we had. Like, just a very, very good defense with Revis and Cromartie and those boys. And it's, back in 2010, that was it. That's the last time the Jets made the playoffs. Ironically, That is the same year I was at my buddy Chris Val's wedding, 2010. And that is when my college fantasy football league started, the Wedding Crashers Fantasy Football League, and my kind of my first time ever playing fantasy. And it's just very ironic that it coincides with the Jets never getting to the playoffs again since I started playing fantasy football. I know this is not the Truman Show. There's not somebody pressing levers and, oh, he's, you know, playing fantasy football, so let's make sure his real NFL team is no good anymore. I know that doesn't work that way, but it's just ironic that I feel like the sports universe won't let me have both. The Jets have been terrible ever since, running through quarterbacks. I've had some success in fantasy football, and I think it's one of my most fun hobbies. Obviously, I'm doing a league-centered podcast right now. I mean, you know I love the game of fantasy football when I'm doing this. But the Jets has just not been good. Longest playoff drought in the NFL currently right now at 12 years. So we're in year 13. Who knows what's going to happen after this Rodgers injury. So now you kind of have a look on how I became a Jets fan, how bad it's been as a Jets fan, including, you know, drafting guys like Geno Smith, who turns out he might be, you know, reinvigorating his career with Seattle. We'll see. Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson. I can deal with management making a bad pick on a quarterback because that's all I've known the last 12 years is they're getting the quarterback position wrong, right? So I can deal with that. Why? Because less than 50% of teams get that right. I mean, we just saw the 49ers a couple years ago trade multiple first-round picks to move up to get Trey Lance, and he just didn't work out. They already shipped him out, and it's kind of like, eh, it happens. I mean, that's one of the worst trades in recent memory, but they're going to be okay. They found Brock Purdy. You know, teams can move on from that when you draft a young guy. They don't cost much, and you give them a go, 3-4 years, and you let them go. I can deal with that. What I'm going to have a hard time dealing with is, by the way, it looks like it's a torn Achilles last night for Aaron Rodgers. If you know anything about that, J.K. Dobbins also went down with that. That's going to be a season ender. And at Aaron Rodgers' age, I have a hard time believing he is going to be able to rehab and come back 100% for next season. I know he wanted to play more than one season for the Jets. Does he feel like he owes us one? Maybe, but that doesn't mean his body is going to cooperate and allow him to play NFL football anymore. So back to what I was saying, what I can deal with is getting the quarterback wrong. It didn't fit our system. We didn't have the right guys around him. I mean, Sam Darnold didn't have much to work with when he was here, especially with the head coach position. Zach Wilson, somewhat of the same thing, but at least he had a defense. Last year had no running game. You know, Breece Hall goes down. I can deal with drafting the wrong quarterback. What I don't know if I'm going to be able to mentally deal with is the idea of Aaron Rodgers being done as a New York Jet after 4 plays because he tore his Achilles. That's a very real possibility that he never plays for the Jets again. And that unknown of having the Hall of Famer, 4-time MVP, finally on my team with, it's not just having Aaron Rodgers, it's with that defense that made Josh Allen look like a rookie quarterback last night. It's with those skill position players where Breece Hall at one point had 2 rush attempts for 106 yards. With Dalvin Cook, with Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard. All of that combined, knowing that I might not get to see Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. I don't know if I'm going to be able to deal with that. So that's where I am mentally. Yes, we got the win last night. I've never been so just I'm at a loss for words. I've never just been so stagnant on a win like that. It was a dramatic special teams win, walk-off win in overtime versus the Buffalo Bills, a division rival. And I just kind of sat there. And it is exactly the Thanos meme where the little girl walks up to him and says, "Did you win?" And Thanos says, "Yes." And the little girl says, "What did it cost?" And Thanos looks up slowly and says, "Everything." That win last night cost everything, and it sucks. And I was going to come on here, and I probably still will, and talk junk about the Atlanta Falcons because somehow they blew out the Carolina Panthers on 18 pass attempts. They just run, played pretty good defense. And I was actually going to come on here and say that's not sustainable because you're going to eventually run into a premier quarterback who you're going to have to keep up with, and you're going to lose those matchups because you have Desmond Ridder. You don't have a quarterback that can keep up. And that's kind of what it's going to be looking like for my New York Jets. They're going to lean heavily on those running backs. They're going to try to limit Zach Wilson's mistakes. They have to completely redo the playbook, and they're going to try to win on defense and their running backs. Playoffs is still a possibility because of how good their defense is, but Super Bowl aspirations are out the window. I know that. I'm a realist. It just sucks all around. So thank you for anybody that did take the time to listen to that. That's just kind of how I'm feeling. But it's time to get to the fantasy football. So I wrote down a quick list. This is a list of kind of the winners and losers of basically we all have these preconceived notions going into the draft, and we have these players on our team, and all the research suggests that one thing would happen, and week one has told us a completely different story. And that doesn't mean it won't change due to injury, or maybe even coaches will change philosophy on some of these players. But here's a list, of some of my winners and losers as far as what we thought their roles would be in week one. So for winners, I have Tua, obviously, with the Tyreek Hill connection. He went so late in drafts that he's definitely a winner. Ken Walker, because Zach Charbonnet, still a rookie, didn't get much work. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, looks like they're going to be just fine even without Tom Brady. Brian Robinson gets almost exclusively all the running back work over Antonio Gibson. Jacoby Myers, I know he's injured, might have a concussion, but man, he looked great on the other side of Devontae Adams. Kyren Williams, looking good for the Rams. Zay Jones playing ahead of Christian Kirk right now as the wide receiver two for the Jaguars. Kenny Gainwell, who all reports in the beginning of, at the end of training camp were that he was the guy. I didn't want to believe it because I think DeAndre Swift is very talented, and I still think he could win out. But right now, Kenny Gainwell is the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles. I have Nico Collins as a winner. It looks like C.J. Stroud only wanted to pass to Nico Collins. And then the rookies, Zay Flower and Jordan Addison, immediate roles for their teams. They looked great. As far as losers go, some of these are just obvious. I don't have to dive into why. But again, Christian Kirk just not getting the same snap count that he used to now that Calvin Ridley's there. Juju Smith-Schuster, Drake London, obviously, one target, no catches. Alicia's entire team, she's in big, big trouble, unfortunately. Hate to see it, but a lot of injuries. Adam Thielen, just not very involved for the Carolina Panthers. Najee Harris, looking inefficient, like we expected. This is what he did last year, very inefficient running back. Antonio Gibson, not getting the work and fumbled. Tyler Lockett, a little bit due to injury here. He was knocked out of the game, but Jackson Smith and Jigba was already seeing targets before him. Elijah Mitchell, we were lied to by the 49ers. They said they were going to limit CMC's workload. Well, in a blowout, CMC still got 90% of the work. Elijah Mitchell is an afterthought. Rashad White, you can see Najee Harris for that. Very inefficient running back, looks like. A.J. Dillon, guys, AJ Dillon is not Jonathan Taylor. I know he has the same size quads. You know, they call him Quadzilla. He's not as good as Aaron Jones. So our perception needs to change on that. I remember mentioning that last year in the podcast. People want AJ Dillon to be the next big thing because he's a big guy. But as far as Aaron Jones, as long as he's there, Aaron Jones is the guy. And you saw the reasons why. Aaron Jones had a spectacular game. George Kittle, this is kind of what I was worried about, the workload, not just injury, but when all the skill position players are healthy, he is definitely fourth in the pecking order. And Treylon Burks, listen, Ryan Tannehill looked awful, and now Treylon Burks is more like the second or third option with Hopkins there. And that Titans offense, it's going to be tough to watch. So those are just some of my winners and losers that I wrote down. Obviously, there's many other winners and losers. You know, you want to throw Calvin Ridley as a winner because he looks good. But to me, that, you know, your list could be a little different than mine. But those are the ones I wrote down. And we'll see if they change week over week. But that's all I had for the intro. So without any further ado, let's get to the studs and duds and week one matchups. All right, enough with story time. Let's pick up the energy. Turn me up! It's time for your matchups of the week, including the matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? What? Gage, taking on Jason. We begin at MetLife. What? 86 to 81, Gage takes the win in dramatic fashion. Last night, he beats Jason with Stephon Diggs and Tyler Bass late into the night, combining for 34 fantasy points. Stephon Diggs is Gage's stud of the week. 10 receptions, 102 yards, and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs was the only option available for Josh Allen last night. Got him into field goal range for the late overtime field goal for Tyler Bass. And this was enough to get Gage the win. Moving on to his dud. It's going to be scary Terry McLaurin, who's only looking at a 17% target share right now for Washington. Still early. He's coming back from that turf toe situation. Maybe he wasn't a full go, but as of right now, Logan Thomas has a 24% target share alongside of Jahan Dotson, who's looking like the wide receiver one right now. But that was a weird game for Washington. They pulled it out. You know, they should have smoked the Cardinals. So we'll see if the game plan changes moving forward for the Washington Commanders. Moving on to Jason's team. As far as his duds go, there were a lot of them. We're going to go with, I'm going to say Joe Burrow, 3 fantasy points. Obviously a dud for the entire Bengals team. Easy dud performance here. I wouldn't worry going forward. It is ironic that he had Derek Carr on his bench when Jason left the draft a bit early because he had to report for work. I just threw Derek Carr as his last pick to fill up his draft board, and it turns out that actually would have got him the win if he made that switch. So maybe a quarterback controversy early on for Jason. Most likely not. As far as his stud, Austin Eckler, first round pick, looking studly as usual, 24.4 fantasy points, 117 yards on the ground, and a touchdown. What a shootout it was against the Miami Dolphins. 4 receptions for 47 yards it through the air. Austin Eckler, who, you know, combined 38 touchdowns the last 2 seasons, gets himself off to a great start for fantasy football purposes. But for Jason, he does start the year at 0-1. And Dixie Normus, Gage Aziz, begins 1-0. Nice job, guys. All right. Our next matchup is going to be the Pillar of Fire. Tom taking on Joe Chick, Sweet Chick Music. And Joe Chick takes the win, 99 to 81. A low scoring affair here. Nobody hits triple digits. But for Joe Chick's purposes, he doesn't care. Again, 99 to 81. Let's take a look at Chick's team. His studs is a twofer. It's the Jaguar boys, Travis Etienne and Calvin Ridley. What a tag team this was yesterday. Calvin Ridley, 20 fantasy points. Travis Etienne, 18.9. So pretty much 19 fantasy points there. Calvin Ridley, he's looking good, man. Yeah, he bet on himself. And here he is back with the Jaguars looking at like an alpha wide receiver one. The routes he was running, all the camp reports and all those clips we were seeing, he looked phenomenal. Doesn't matter that he took a year and a half off, you know, suspended because of betting. But he's back and looking better than ever. So much so that he pushed Christian Kirk all the way down the depth chart. Christian Kirk only playing about half the snaps now because of how dominant Calvin Ridley is. So 8 catches for 101 yards and a touchdown in his debut. And Travis Etienne, no slouch, 77 yards rushing and a touchdown. And finally got it done through the air. 5 receptions for only 27 yards. But the 5 receptions is what we've been looking for Travis Etienne. I know he missed his entire rookie season due to injury. But last year he came in and it's like, I thought he was this pass catching prospect and he just wasn't getting those opportunities last year, at least not like this. 5 catches, if he's getting this every week, he's a running back one. So we'll see. You know, it was the Colts and it was a pretty positive game script, although the Colts hung around there, but the Jaguar boys are going to be Joe Chick's studs. As far as his duds go, definitely a few. We're going to go George Kittle here, and I have some comments about George Kittle. So you guys might not be aware, but Joe Chick and I have a side bet going. This comes from the Draft Grade episode when I wasn't a big fan of Kittle. Basically, it's all about average draft position, right? And I just didn't like where people are taking him. And so that was one reason why. I think that was the only thing I disliked about Chick's team was where he took George Kittle. This is not a victory lap, but George Kittle only 3 fantasy points. He went 3 receptions for 19 yards. And it's not just the injury risk, because like Chick said last year, generally he was pretty healthy last year, but there's just no way he's going to play 17 games. You know, I don't know if he's ever done it. But this was the other concern, is that when everyone else is healthy in this Niners offense, and I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, and Debo Samuel, Kittle is clearly the 4th option. And I can prove it to you. I mean, this is a small sample size. It's only game 1. But this is also something we saw last year. So this is kind of what I was going by. So George Kittle caught 3 of 6 targets yesterday. Now, 6 targets for a premier tight end, you want that to be closer to 8, to be honest. But Debo Samuel caught 5 of 7 targets. Brandon Ayuk caught 8 of 8 targets. And then CMC caught 3 of 5 targets. So you're saying, oh, okay, he's right behind the pecking order of Christian McCaffrey. Oh yeah, but Christian McCaffrey also had 22 rush attempts. So that's 27 opportunities for Christian McCaffrey to George Kittle's 6 opportunities. Kittle was 4th in the pecking order, and I think he will continue to be 4th. He's going to be blocking more than he is going to be helping out on offense. And I mean, it was a blowout yesterday and he just wasn't super involved. But long story short, the side bet I have with Joe Chick is Darren Waller versus George Kittle fantasy points, total fantasy points. And there's a caveat, both have to play at least 13 games. So it could come down to injuries. Unfortunately, both tight ends were already questionable coming into the week, but both played. It's not like Waller went out and had himself a great night on Sunday night. So again, not a victory lap, but I do still expect Waller to be the number one option, maybe just behind Saquon in the Giants offense, while Kittle is clearly the number 4. So long story short, Jamar Chase was in the running for dud as well, but we're going to give it to George Kittle because this one was more expected for me. But again, Joe Chick does not care, takes the win, 99 points. Let's go to Tom's team. Jalen Hurts, It's hard to say. Is he going to take a step back this year? I don't think so. I think this is just the case on the road, bad weather game versus Bill Belichick. I mean, we have to give Belichick his dues. His defense is elite every single year. His game plans against top weapons is elite. The top weapon for the Eagles is Jalen Hurts. So no surprise, Jalen Hurts only 12 fantasy points. And he's going to be my dud for Tom here just because of where he drafted him, and you need more of a baseline when he's your number three overall pick. Moving on, obviously Justin Jefferson, this award could go to him, you know, as far as his stud goes every single week, but 9 receptions, 150 yards, good for 19 fantasy points, made it look easy, no touchdowns, but this is the safety of drafting a Justin Jefferson with your top three pick. You don't need touchdowns. He's 19 fantasy points without a touchdown is absolutely insane. So nicely done there. I just wanted to talk real quick about Ramondre Stevenson. Also could have been a dud, but got it done through the air. 11 fantasy points. I wanted to talk about the breakdown between Zeke and Ramondre. This is one of the questions we wanted to see going in. Zeke got 12 touches yesterday. And what did he do with those touches? 3.5 yards per touch. That's terrible. Ramondre got 18 touches yesterday, and he was getting 4.9 yards per touch. So I believe 6 receptions for Ramondre. I think that part is safe, but the more the year goes on, there's just no way Zeke can continue to get 12 touches per game. I'd like to see that go down to at least 10 and give Ramondre a couple more opportunities, but we'll see how it goes. Zeke was already one of the least efficient running backs last year, and he came in, had a fumble early, and then just didn't produce for the Patriots much yesterday, and definitely not for fantasy. Kind of just ate into Ramondre's load a little bit. So 12 fantasy points, I think Tom's going to be looking for more from Ramondre Stevenson, as you know, he was definitely a high draft pick. But nonetheless, Sweet Chick Music takes the win, starts 1-0. Pillar of Fire starts 0-1. All right, our next matchup is going to be In the Hunt. Elliott taking on Robert Saleh. That's going to be Greg Noonan's team. I'm just going to call him Robert Saleh. I'm not saying the rest of his team name. Robert Saleh. And Elliott takes the win, 111 to 93. And let's take a look at Elliott's team. Elliott has the cheat codes. Tyreek Hill, 39 fantasy points, 11 for 215 and 2. Yeah, that's, you're going to like that. 39 points. I have him as my offensive player of the year preseason. Hoping that one cashes because he looks like he could be, he promised he wants to go for 2000 yards this year. I don't know if he can do it, but I'll tell you one thing. If he does do it, he will be named the offensive player of the year. And, give props to Tua. You know, I don't think Tua's all that special because I think it's more due to his weapons, but you got to give him credit for putting the ball where Tyreek Hill is. I mean, he could have other quarterbacks who would completely miss him, and we wouldn't be enjoying the fantasy outpour from Tyreek Hill, but 39 fantasy points for Elliott. As far as your dud goes, I'm going Rashad White, 5.9 fantasy points on 39 yards rushing on 17 attempts. Very inefficient. He was inefficient last year when he got the opportunity, when he was splitting with Leonard Fournette. He was more of the passing downs guy, but he just doesn't look dynamic to me. I don't know. He's just, there's a chance that he's just a guy, and we'll see. It's week one. Don't want to go crazy, but that offensive line isn't great. Even worse is the Bucks won, so I you know, who knows? Why would you change anything if you're the coaching staff? But he just doesn't look like he can break off a 40-yard. I mean, look at Breece Hall. There's a big difference between a kid like Breece Hall and Rashad White. Are you kidding me? So we'll see what happens moving forward. But pretty high draft capital for Elliott. I think probably 5th or 6th round pick for him. So I think he's going to be locked in his lineup for a little while until he figures it out. But 5.9 is going to get him his dud on his team. Going over to Greg's team, stud of the week is going to be Anthony Richardson. Looking good, 20.9 fantasy points. 223 yards through the air, 2 total touchdowns, and 40 yards rushing. If you stat that out, 40 yards per game for 17 games, you're going to get 680 rushing yards. And I think that's going to go way up, in my opinion. I think that's the baseline for Anthony Richardson. He actually looked pretty good as a passer. He looks better than Justin Fields. I should have put Justin Fields and DJ Moore on the losers list earlier in the intro, because if Anthony Richardson looks this good game one, what are we doing, Justin Fields? What's taking so long? I'll get to those boys later when I get to their matchups, but Anthony Richardson is going to be your stud. As far as your dud goes, it's Jamal Williams. I know it's a tough run defense with the Tennessee Titans, but you're at home. There's no competition for you. Kendre Miller was injured. Alvin Kamara suspended. This is your time to shine, and Jamal Williams, back to a pumpkin. If he doesn't get the goal line 1 yard touchdowns, this is who he is. I mean, think about it. He had 45 yards rushing, 2 receptions for 7 yards. If he got a touchdown, it looks a lot better. He would have gotten 12 points, but this is who Jamal Williams is. He's more of a goal line touchdown scorer. He had 17 or 18 last year. Unsustainable. This was the problem for drafting Jamal Williams. Now, in Greg's build, I know why he did it, because he went zero RB, and all he needs to do is figure out his RB2 spot, but it pretty much cost him here. I know Amari Cooper got banged up, but I'm not going to give him the dud with 5.2 fantasy points. I'm giving the dud to Jamal Williams. So in the hunt, Elliott goes to 1-0, and Greg's team moves to 0-1 to start his Marvel fantasy football career. All right, our next matchup is going to be the Teddy Bears. Maddie taking on the Zin Crusaders, Chris Roach, and the Teddy Bears takes the win 85-73. Let's look at the matchups here. As far as the Teddy Bears, Maddie's team, as far as your stud goes, I'm going to go Michael Pittman Jr., who got it done real late in the game with the aforementioned Anthony Richardson. 8 receptions for 97 yards and a touchdown. Good for 19.7 fantasy points. He went 8 for 8, folks. 8 targets, 8 receptions. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. So again, Anthony Richardson looking like the real deal. I think there's some Cam Newton vibes, and I don't mean the New England Patriot Cam Newton. I'm talking early on Carolina Panthers Cam Newton type. He's big bodied like that, and if he's going to be accurate, 8 for 8 is something. We've never seen Zach Wilson go 8 for 8 on a player. So let's give credit where credit is due. Anthony Richardson looking good, and Michael Pittman Jr. looking like a steal in drafts. As far as your dud goes, I mean, talk about the gooser. Dallas Goedert, 0 points. What happened, man? The tight end position is in big trouble. We really need Kelce and Andrews back, because watching these tight ends go for one catch, 4 yards, like a Dalton Schultz, Goddard getting 0, Kyle Pitts getting like 3 targets on the day, catching 2 of them. I mean, it's disgusting. So Dallas Goedert's going to be your dud, and in contention is his teammate DeAndre Swift, who looked completely uninvolved for the Eagles. Such a playmaker when he was with the Lions. I really don't know what happened with this kid. Maybe he's got a screw loose. I don't know. Maybe this is the coaching. All these coaches just don't trust him. But they had Rashad Penny inactive for the game, and Swift goes out, doesn't get much work, only 1 attempt. I mean, Kenny Gainwell gets all the work, so you wonder if maybe Swift is the next one to be inactive and they give Penny a chance, but not good. But nonetheless, Maddie gets the win. Let's go over to the Zin Crusaders, Chris Roach's team. A lot of duds on here. Greg Dulcich gets hurt in the middle of the Denver Broncos game. Not going to give it to him. He ended with 3 fantasy points, but we're going to go Najee Harris, 4.3 fantasy points. Again, he was on my loser list. Inefficient, Jalen Warren, kind of more dynamic, more draft capital, obviously, on Najee Harris. So we have to see, is Mike Tomlin going to finally pull the trigger and, you know, make it a full committee, which he's never done before? Or will he just give the reins to Jalen Warren because he usually only uses one back? Looks like a committee to me. And Najee Harris, obviously, tough matchup against San Francisco, so you have to factor that in. But just he just looks like a plotter, man. Like, he's like Eddie Lacy after a couple, like, hot pockets, man. Like, just plotting away. 4.3 fantasy points, not going to get it done. And pretty much uninvolved in the receiving game. So, obviously, poor Roach had some injuries as well. Tyler Lockett was banged up, ended with 2 fantasy points along with Dulcich. So, you know, that's no good. As far as your stud goes, we're going to go Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, he started his week so well on Thursday night. That's always such a false hope, right? Your first player, maybe a player or two, goes off on Thursday night. Your projection goes way up. I bet you he was projected for way more than 73 fantasy points, which is what he ended with. But Amon-Ra looked good. 6 receptions, 71 yards, and a touchdown in the win against the Chiefs. So Zen Crusaders starts his season 0-1, while Maddie starts his Marvel career at 1-0. All right, our next matchup is going to be Unleash the Beast, Alicia, taking on Ball Too Well, Taylor's version, Taylor Anoint. Oh, brother, let's get right into Alicia's team. Already was not a favorite team of mine going in, and it only got worse. Nothing she could have done about any of this, though. But she had just one of the worst week ones I've ever seen. And I'm not just talking about score. So she puts up 49 points here. Taylor takes the win with 93 points. So a nice, easy win for Taylor. But Alicia's team, my goodness. Not only did her superstars not perform, her team is completely banged up. I don't know what kind of starting roster she's going to put together for next week. Duds all over the place. Damian Pierce, 5 fantasy points. Lamar Jackson, in a blowout win, 25-9 to Houston, only puts up 6 fantasy points. Looked awful. Got the bag this summer as a free agent. Looked terrible, but they still got the win. Moving on to J.K. Dobbins, torn Achilles, out for the season. Her wide receiver 1 is Deontay Johnson, pulled a hamstring, out for the game, most likely will sit week 2. Her wide receiver 2 is Alan Lazard, who just lost Aaron Rodgers. She had Rashad Penny in her flex spot, who was inactive. So I don't know, might have to issue a warning for that one, although it was very late into the day when they decided to make him inactive, so might have to give a pass on that. And then obviously her bench is completely gone. Travis Kelce didn't play week 1 due to a knee. Christian Watson was out. She has Aaron Rodgers on her bench, out for the season. And she has Jonathan Taylor on her IR spot. This is definitely one of the worst rosters I've seen now. Again, not her fault. These injuries just piled up on top of having kind of a rough draft. So we'll see what Alicia can do moving forward. No studs. Pretty rare to not have any studs. If I had to pick one, it would have been J.K. Dobbins, and he did it because of a touchdown, but right before he tore his Achilles. Moving on to Taylor's team, 93 fantasy points. Didn't quite get to triple digits, but for her purposes, she does not care. She gets the win. Her stud, Christian McCaffrey, 152 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Mixed in 3 receptions for 17 yards, but really just wasn't needed in the passing game. Did all his work on the ground, got all the work. Like we talked about at the beginning, Elijah Mitchell was nowhere to be found. I think it's known now that Elijah Mitchell is actually more of an injury risk than Christian McCaffrey. And her dud is going to be T. Higgins, who gets her 0 points. I told her not to worry. Devonta Smith had 0 points last year, week one. He turned out to be a pretty good wide receiver. So better days ahead for the Bengals, and hopefully better days ahead for Alicia. But keep your eye on her team and see what kind of starting roster she's going to put up for next week. We'll have to see what she does going forward. But congratulations to Taylor for taking the win. Starts 1-0, and Alicia will start 0-1. All right, next up is going to be my matchup with Josh Chicken Tendies taking on your undisputed champion, myself, Mr. Fahrenheit the Fourth. And Josh takes the win. Chicken Tendies, 113-87. Let's take a look at Josh's squad. Puts up 113 points, one of the higher scoring teams on the week. Aaron Jones, 25 fantasy points, 41 yards rushing, 2 total touchdowns. Did a lot of damage in the air, 86 receiving yards on 2 receptions. That's efficient, folks. Not quite as efficient as Breece Hall last night, averaging at one point. He was 2 rush attempts for 106 yards, but you'll take this all day. Aaron Jones looks locked and loaded. I hope he's okay for next week after he pulled his hamstring on that touchdown run. Looks like he could have come back in. They were stretching him out. He claims he could have come back in that game. So I like his projection of starting next week. He gets a week to rehab and take it easy. He'll probably be limited all week, maybe even sit out a couple practices. But Aaron Jones looking like a stud. As far as your dud goes, definitely a couple to choose from. But Christian Kirk is the one we're going to worry about here, because he is just not the same possession type receiver right now in this offense. It's only week one, but with Calvin Ridley there and Zay Jones making incredible catches alongside Evan Ingram, and then what you have Travis Etienne doing as well in the passing game, Christian Kirk looks like that fourth option. He's looking like the George Kittle of this offense, where there's not a piece of the pie left for him. So we'll see what happens. Maybe in a different, matchup, he'll see his work increase, but 1 reception for 9 yards is not going to get it done. Moving on to my team, 87 points. Like I said, this is a very high upside, young team that really kind of just changed with Aaron Rodgers going down. Obviously, my share of Garrett Wilson is not going to be as valuable. He did get that touchdown yesterday. But as far as my stud goes, it's my man, Tony Pollard. 70 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. Wasn't really needed in the passing game at all, 2 receptions. But I'll take the 21 fantasy points from him. And my dud, Deion Jackson. I already talked about him in the chat. My whole plan was, I picked up Deion Jackson. I don't really want him. I want to play keep away. I want to trade him. Couldn't find a trade partner. Even Alicia didn't want him. I knew that he was pretty much a ticking time bomb. And I said I was going to drop him on Sunday and let him be someone else's problem on Tuesday. And the stupid projection got me. Let me just put the safe running back in. He's going to get all the work. Rookie quarterback Anthony Richardson is in, so they're going to lean on Jackson. Well, they leaned on him just a few times, 14 rushing yards, and he had 5 receptions for 14 yards, 2 fumbles. Yikes. I would have taken if he didn't have the fumbles, he would have got over 5 points, which would have been adequate. But long story short, just a terrible move on my part. It's good to know, though, sometimes it's a fun exercise just to look on your bench and put in a realistic mindset. Would I have started Zay Flowers on my bench? And I would have realistically started him over Deion Jackson. I was thinking about it all week, him or Elijah Moore. And it's good to know that if I made that switch, I still would have lost to Josh. So I can sleep at night knowing that no matter what roster I had, Josh just had the better team this week. So congratulations to Josh. Starts 1-0. I had him projected for the playoffs. So boom, check that off. good start for you. And I had myself out of the playoffs, and so far so good. So congrats, Josh, on your win. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. Week one is in the books. Thank you for all those that listened to the monologue. Again, totally understandable if you didn't. Pretty selfish monologue, but just wanted to get out there. More for my own psyche, I needed to kind of express how I was feeling about the Rodgers thing. I know it's very dramatic and everything like that, and we're going to be just fine. We'll be okay. It's just football, but I was really, really looking forward to my Jets, and I still can. And obviously, fantasy football is always here, and I appreciate you guys for listening today. Can't wait for week two. There's going to be an insane waiver wire coming up tonight. Can't wait to see what kind of price tags these players are going for. So I'll keep my eye on that. And we look forward to week two. And we'll see you next week on the Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast.